We have another parable this morning that involves money. You know, last week we had the huge debt that was forgiven to the servant, and then today we have the payment to the laborers. You can tell that the Gospel of Matthew was written by a former tax collector, because those type of parables seemed to resonate with him, and he remembered those, and probably they were pretty effective for him. But as we look at today's parable, the landowner gives the same daily wage to the workers, whether he got them at 5 p.m., meaning they probably worked about an hour, or whether they spent 12 hours all day long out in the field. They get the same wage. And the first thing about this parable is it seems very unfair. You know, those who work 12 hours of hard labor, it seems like they should get more than the people who only worked 1 hour. And so I think it's easy for us to sympathize with those workers. And the other thing about this parable is no landowner is going to do that. You know, no business owner or landowner is going to pay people 12 hours of work if they only did 1 hour. You know, you're not going to make a profit doing that. You know, why would someone do that? But that's the point of today's gospel. Our Heavenly Father doesn't see things the way that we do. His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. So in this parable, the day's wage symbolizes salvation. It's not really about money. It's about salvation. And the landowner doesn't care how many times he has to pay people out the daily wage. What he's concerned about is getting as many people as he possibly can in the vineyard. The more people, the better. The more people he pays, the more people he grants salvation to, the better. And we see that by the number of times the landowner goes out. He goes out at 6 a.m., he goes out at 9, at noon, at 3, at 5. And every time he goes out, he gets every worker that he can find to bring into his vineyard. So that's our Lord's concern. Our Heavenly Father desires the salvation of all people. He's trying to get as many people as he possibly can into his vineyard. He's not worried about how much he has to pay out. He wants to pay out as much as he can. Because our Heavenly Father realizes how high the stakes are. You know, it's about eternal life or eternal death. And he wants his children to be with him forever. And so he wants them to attain salvation. He doesn't want any of his children to be separated from him for all eternity. And so whether someone responds early in life, whether someone's baptized as an infant and serves the Lord and the church for many years, or whether someone on their deathbed cries out with their last breath for mercy from the Lord, our Heavenly Father is waiting for them. And he's quick and generous in offering salvation, more generous than we'd probably find anyone else in this world. You know, our Heavenly Father's generosity is incomprehensible. You know, if at any point in our lives we're willing to turn away from sin and to turn to our Lord and to ask Him for mercy, He's waiting for us to grant us salvation. Now, that's not to say that everybody in heaven receives an equal reward, because there's other parables that talk about different rewards in heaven. You know, like the parable of the talents, the servant who got 10 or 5 or 1 talent. And so, you know, people in heaven are able to experience happiness to the degree of their depth of love here on earth. If someone's love is deeper for our Lord, and their love for neighbor is deeper, then they have a deeper capacity to enjoy the delights in heaven. And so everyone's reward isn't the same. So, you know, we shouldn't wait for a deathbed conversion or say, well, I can put it off because everybody gets the same. Well, that's not true. Our Lord desires salvation for everyone, but the reward is different. And so we should strive not for mediocrity and say, hey, I'm just barely going to make it into heaven. You know, that should not be our goal. Our goal should be to grow as deeply as we can in love of our Lord and love of our neighbor. And there's unique rewards for those who are pure of heart, those who are peacemakers, those who are virgins for the sake of Christ, those who are martyrs, those who are religious, those who are effective, you know, parents who love their families deeply and instill the faith in them. There's rewards for all those different things. You know, but in today's parable, you know, the focus is that our Heavenly Father desires everyone to receive salvation, and those who receive salvation receive a reward that lasts forever. And He's very generous in giving that reward. There's nobody that we can serve that is as generous as our Heavenly Father. If we look at where we should put our time and our effort, you know, there is no business owner or no employer that's going to pay us as generously as our Heavenly Father pays us. And so if we look at whether we should be investing our time, you know, where we should be putting our time, do we want to serve someone who's stingy or who's just going to give us a small amount? Or do we want to serve someone who is incomprehensible in his generosity? You know, there is no business that's going to pay us, no position that's going to pay us as well as our Heavenly Father does. And so, you know, there should be, you know, great joy in serving a Lord who's so generous. And so, what do we need to do to serve the Lord in His vineyard? And how do we know if we're actually in the vineyard or not? Well, there's three things that I'll highlight for our focus today. And these things should be our focus constantly, things that we frequently think about. And the first is, are we in a state of grace? If we're not in a state of grace, we're not in the vineyard. You know, someone who's in a state of grace is able to respond to the will of our Heavenly Father. And so it's critically important for us to be living in a state of grace where God's life is alive within us and where we're responding to His will. If we've committed a grave sin, then we need to get to confession as quickly as possible. And if we're not living in a state of grace, we need to be quick to make whatever change is necessary for us to be able to enter in the vineyard. If there's some habit that we have or some attachment that's keeping us from the Lord, get rid of it. If there's a marriage situation that's keeping us from the Lord, we need to rectify that quickly. There's nothing more important than us being in a state of grace in terms of being able to live the Christian life. And so the first thing is that we should make sure that we're in a state of grace, and if we're not, make whatever sacrifice is necessary to get back as quickly as we can. The second thing, part of being in the vineyard, prayer. Praying for the salvation of souls. Do we recognize that there are many people around us whose salvation is in grave danger? You know, we can't just assume that everybody's going to heaven, because that's not reality. You know, there are many people around us that are not on the path of salvation. Are we concerned about that? And do we turn that into our life of prayer and pray for the salvation of souls every day? Our Blessed Mother appeared from heaven at Fatima just over 100 years ago to deliver a message of critical importance. And the heart of that message was penance and praying the rosary daily for the salvation of souls. So do we do that? Are we doing penance? And are we praying the rosary daily like our Blessed Mother asked us to? Especially for the salvation of souls. And the third thing about working in the vineyard is trying to get as many people as possible into the vineyard. Are we reaching out and trying to draw other people into the vineyard? You know, we have the evangelization initiative that's going on within our parish, where we have small groups where people are being brought in and being exposed to the faith, perhaps for the first time. In our new faith formation program, we're entrusting parents with the responsibility of teaching the faith to their children. You know, putting them in that position where the parents are actively teaching the faith, because that's parents' responsibility, is to, you know, make sure that their young people grow in the faith. Or in a simple way to help draw people into the vineyard. You know, we all run into people who are struggling or people who are going through a difficult time. And what I used to do is I used to say to those people, I'll pray for you. Which is good. You know, it's good to pray for people. But as often as possible, I've started saying, do you want to pray together right now? And that's something that's very easy that we can do, is just to pray with somebody in their time of need. And that attests to our faith in prayer and our faith in God. And when someone's hurting and in a difficult position and they're exposed to that, they may very well say, hey, yeah, I do need prayer. That could be the door that opens them up to coming into the vineyard. And that's something simple that all of us can do if we just have the courage to say, hey, do you want to pray together right now? And so I encourage us to focus on those three things. First, are we in a state of grace? Second, are we praying every day for the salvation of souls? And third, are we reaching out and trying to draw other people into the vineyard? Our greatest joy in life should be seeing new people enter into the vineyard. And if we're to that point where that's our greatest joy, then we'll be seeing things like our Heavenly Father sees them.